Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining me once again. Thank you for checking out your time from your busy day to join us for an hour of the Lisa Experience. Hoping that as we move forward, you'll learn something. If not, you'll be able to take up in something or you'll be able to add something. You can always chime in and push one if you want to speak or say what's on your mind. It's not all about me. It's all about you. So take your time out if you want to speak to me or my host, Miles, and let us know what you're thinking. Tonight, we're talking about my brother's keeper and baby mamas. So this first half, we're going to talk about my brother's keeper. I was pondering on how I was going to bring this out tonight, and there's been a lot of stuff going on this week that I just been thinking about. It been taking me through changes, and I read something and said that Cain killed his brother Abel in the Bible, and God said to Cain, "Where's your brother at?" And he said, "I'm not my brother's keeper." And as we know, Cain was jealous of Abel because God liked him better as far as he planted when Cain, he took care of animals, and he thought God liked his brother more for the way that he took care of the plants. And we know that didn't turn out right for Cain because God knew that Abel was dead because his blood was crying out to him, letting him know that he was killed. And Cain didn't want to accept it to tell God that he had killed his brother for a reason of being jealous. So I bring up the topic, my brother's keeper. As you know of, I have four brothers. It was five of us. And we all always talk about our families and what goes on, you know, growing up. But a brother's keeper. See, the first person that's born in the family, he's the one that has to look out for all the ones that come after him. So while the mother is doing her part and the father is doing his part, that older one, he really doesn't have time for himself because as the other ones are coming, he's taking them to school. He's watching them. He's making sure they don't get hurt. He's telling them what to do, not to do, and he's lining them up to do right because he's the oldest. And then the second one follow, and then he take a little bit more command, and he wants them to listen to him. And then it goes on down the line. And then I always say the third person is always the one that gets the raw end of the stick because they don't get the attention as the first one get and as the last one get because it's too much going on that you just have to take care of yourself. As you know, I'm the middle child, but I'm the fourth child in the family. And I felt the same way, that after I came, it wasn't too much going on, so I just had to make a world on my own. And my brothers always was doing their thing because, you know, guys always doing their thing. So it wasn't really no time for me because I was a girl and they wasn't going to let me in on none of the fun they was having doing their sports. Which was cool because I really wasn't into sports. But, you know, it would have been nice if we could have really hung together, but you don't really fit in that slot. So my brother Randy that came after me, which is the baby of the family, he knew more about my brothers than I did because he was one of the bros or the bros. So he got to hang with them, get to know how their personalities and what's going on. Basically, I got a little piece here, little piece there, and mostly a lot of slack because, you know, guys always goes off on the sisters. Don't talk to none of my brothers. Don't talk to none of my friends. Don't hang out with none of my friends. Don't go to bed with none of my friends. Don't hang out with the wrong type of crowd. It's always telling you what not to do and who not to be with. But yet, they're the same ones that's doing all the things is it telling you not to do. Never understood that that little thing they got going on, but that's how brothers do their sisters. And, of course, you know that all your girlfriends want to talk to your brothers, so they might be with you before they get with your brothers. Sometimes it's reversed, and maybe some of the brothers' friends want to talk to the sisters. You know, I'm not really there because most of them are older and younger, so I can't really tell you too many stories about that. But back again to my brother's keepers. And I think that it's a real good subject because we don't realize that we take on a lot in life. You know, we take on a lot of responsibility, taking care of someone, being there for someone, and we don't realize that we take some from ourselves because we study giving. We giving and worrying about and carrying and doing for other people, and not just your brothers. As life go on, you get friends that you go way beyond doing for them. You got associates that you do for, your parents. You know, you might have a favorite cousin out there that you do a lot for them, and it goes on. my brother's keepers. And it don't have to be brothers. It could be sisters that we carry people and do for people. And then we turn around one day and we ask the same people that we've been doing for, and then they can't help us. And then you'd be like, well, I was there for them. No one else was there for them, but they can't be with me for a moment. And, you know, sometimes you get angry, sometimes you just move on, but it goes on. Now, like I said, I've been going through some things this week. You know, we lost one of my brothers, and he was the second oldest one. And I know a lot of people know that we didn't really have a good relationship, but we always loved each other. See, it don't matter. You still love your family. It's just that you have to put them in certain places in life because they might not act the way they're supposed to or do things that you would want them to do, but that's them. And you got to love them for being who they are because we all here got all different types of personalities, and it's not us to say we got to change them because a person has to wind up changing themselves. And then this week I had a problem that it really took me down was that I had a problem with a worker that I was really close to, and something happened, and I lost that was working with me. And sometimes when you lose a person that worked with you, that you get along with and y'all work good together, and then something happened and they're gone, they can't be replaced. But see, people don't get it because you hardly ever find someone that they got your back no matter what, and you got their back. And you could call them and say, yo, could you do this? And they do it. And they don't clap at the mouth or they don't go off or they don't be like, well, why she can't do it or why, you know, they don't have excuse. They just do it. And then you do things for them because you know they go out of their way for you. So I'm going to miss that person, you know what I mean? Because you only get one. Now, whoever replaces him is not going to be him. And I'm just going to say that I'm sad to see that person not be in my life every day. Because going to work, it's a pleasure sometimes to see that one person that you know that, how they're going to be, how they're going to react, and how you're going to work with them. But like people always say, you know what you got, you never know what you're going to get. So, my brother's keeper, we take care of many of people, we help many of, and some people we just carry through life the whole time we work in this journey to the end. And sometimes you go walk with this person and you never get to know them, and one day they say something or they do something, you'd be like, wow. I never knew they felt like that. I never knew they was like that. Boy, it was keeping that a secret for a mighty long time. And then you have to evaluate that person. Because this wasn't a person that you always seen that you knew that been walking through your life. I got girlfriends that I was with since I was a kid. Thought I was a great girlfriend. And now that we older, I'd be like, well, why you don't call me? Oh, well, you the one working. I don't work. You got to call me because I don't know when you're free. I'm free the same time I was free when we were friends when we was younger. Don't matter I'm working. You pick the phone up, I'm going to answer it. If I'm thinking about you, you can't think about me. You know, people got a lot of things twisted in life. You know, you don't grow up together and spend time your whole young life, and then when you get older, then you forget about the person that was there by your side. Like, if you don't put time in with them, they can't put time in with you. It's so sad that you have friends out here that it's only for what they can get out of life from you. It shouldn't be like that. If you got somebody, it should be both of you in it for the same reason. people got to stop wanting to be with people for what they got or what they could do for you. If it ain't about positive stuff or about building, it shouldn't be about taking and receiving. It should be about being positive, being there for the person, for them to reach their potential, like you're going to reach yours. We miss the point in life. Just like I said about Cain, it didn't matter if God liked it, Abel for what he was doing. He loved both of them because he made both of them. We got to stop taking things personal on our behalf. We don't know for what reason why people care about a certain person. That should stop us from moving on to what we need to move on to. So when Cain killed his brother, that made it the first murder that ever happened. For what reason? For jealousy. We don't have to be jealous of people. If a person is doing better than you, be happy for them. If a person is coming up, be happy for them. If a person is falling down, be happy that you're hoping and praying that one day they come up and they get it to where they need to be. We don't always have to be right with them, but we're hoping that they get the same opportunity as us. But we got so many people looking for one little thing to kick you in your back, and then still want to be in your face after they kick you in your back. My brother's keeper. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about this a little bit more. We're going to take out on a break. Please stay with me.
Mother, oh Father, I love you. In the midst of life, I've heard you say, daughter, oh Son, I love you. One, say you cherish every day. And simply be taken away. Then you say, I know this can't be true. When you never took the time, simply tell them I love you. It was the last time that they heard you say, sister, oh brother, I love you. And it was the last time that they heard you say, darling, oh best friend, I love you. The one for whom you give your very life could be in the twinkling of an eye. Through your tears you'd ask, why did you go? Knowing you didn't always show just how much you love us so. These three words, sweet and simple. These three words, sure and kind. Yeah.
Thank you for staying with me. Now I'd like to introduce my co-host, Miles. Are you there? Hello?
Keep going.
Is Miles on? Randy? Rand?
Yeah, I'm here, Lee.
Hey, Miles, how you doing?
I'm good. And yourself?
All right, glad to hear from you this evening.
Good to hear from you, too.
Yeah, my brother was giving us a little acapella for that. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, he probably drinking.
He probably got caught in his feelings.
Yeah.
How you doing otherwise?
I'm doing good. You know, just maintaining, staying out of trouble, keeping my head above water.
That's a good thing. So, Miles, how do you feel about my brother's keeper?
That's a hard one, especially when you got a brother that's stubborn or don't want you to know anything about his life or his business. I guess the only way you could keep your brother keeper if you both know what each other about, what they into, because you always want to look out for your brothers, but when y'all separated like that, you live here, he live across town, you hoping he's doing good, and, you know, God forbid he get in trouble, you always want to be there for him, but you got to have that relationship with one another, like where you could feel that they could come to you with anything.
Yeah,
I got
good.
Seven. Counting me, it was seven boys. And our four oldest brothers, now they always stuck together no matter what. But the other, like me, my brother, a year younger than me, and a baby brother, they would never let us know what they was, you know, into or what they was about because, you know, they was doing some rough stuff. And they kept us out of it because they didn't want us to get caught up in that. But, you know, when anything go down, we can always count on them to be there. But, you know, and then when we try to get to, you know, find out what they are to, they wouldn't let us in. And it felt kind of lonely, like, you know, what, you don't trust us or you my brother, man. You know, I just want to know how you doing. We fine, but, you know, they wouldn't let us know further than that.
Yeah.
Like they was protecting us from what they was doing.
Yeah, because it's hard because older siblings don't realize that when you're younger, you don't even really know their life because you only see bits and pieces when they come in the house because they so older and doing their own thing. And you still in the house with your parents. Like my older brother, we were 7 years apart. So basically by the time I was, old enough to really know anything. He was already in high school, and I remember he was dating, and he was, you know, back then you had to sit in the living room, and you wasn't allowed to move from the living room because your mother and father wouldn't let you go no further. And I remember peeking through the door and looking at him, and he would be screaming, "Ma, Lisa in here," staring at us, and you know, I don't know what I was staring at, but, you know, it was funny to see, you know, your brother in there with a girl because you're young.
Yeah, you ain't used to that.
You're
that's
used
like
to
me.
That.
Now, my brother who is underneath me, we a year apart now. We know each other. We like bond. And, like, sometimes, you know, then as we got older, he went his separate way, I went mine, and you know, we ain't, you know, we always talked over the phone and stuff like that, but we haven't got, like, hang out with each other for, like at least 7-8 years. And, you know, when you end up with him, do you find out, oh, he did this and that? Like, it's just like something new. Like, you're just learning something new about your brother that you didn't know before. Because they, you know, we don't always tell each other everything. And then when you find out certain things, you're like, yo, man, why you ain't tell me that, man? I just didn't want to bother you with it. Bother me, you know, we brothers. I got your back, you got my back. And, you know, just because our older brothers, we don't know what they're going through, but now we close to age, we gotta keep in touch, you know, keep that brotherhood working there. Now
yeah,
I live here in Patterson. I live in Patterson. He live in Elwin Park. You know,
okay.
It's different now because we usually could just walk to each other's house. Now it's different now. I got a driveway over there. I can find where he live, and plus it's working hours, and so we do most of our, you know, communication over the phone now. But like you said, sometimes I be home, I be on the phone. It feels different because I like to, you know, have them sitting around me. You know, we sitting in the yard chilling or listening to radio or, you know, sitting in front of the house or something. But now that he way over here and way over there, it's like it ain't like the same anymore.
Because my brother Red, we used to drive because we 5 years apart. And I'll never forget, I went outside and I thought somebody stole my car. And I'm running in the house and I'm screaming. And I'm saying, my car is stolen, my car is stolen. And somebody said, oh, I seen your brother driving your car. And I said, nah, he only 15, he can't be driving my car. And I run inside and I told my mother, I said, really took my car riding? And he was like, well, he going to bring it back. And I was like, he going to bring it back? He's 15. What are you going to bring back? You know what I mean? He ain't supposed to be even in it. And
right.
I'm finding out that he's driving Route 20, flying with his homeboys, drinking Old English 800. And I'm like, you know, just things the baby people get to do in life. Like, don't get in trouble for doing stuff. Like, I would never take his car. You know what I mean? None of my brother's car. And here he is, felt like, and made his own set of keys. He was a mess. But, you know, we always was cool. You know what I mean? He just
No, I'm just saying, I'm listening.
Oh, yeah, he just liked to enjoy his life off of me. You know what I mean? But, you know, I'm the only sister, oldest sister, and, we, you know, we really like, you know, I understand, like you said, we don't like coming to each other's house, but we talk on the phone all the time, and we'll go out to eat once in a while, because he don't even like to do that, but, you know, we always been cool, and my other brother works so much that I just catch him every once in a while, but it's hard with brothers. Like I said, when you're a girl, they into their families and their women, and most times the sister sits in the back line, you know, but
it's like when you all living in the same house, you all bonding together, but when they all get older and move out on their own, everybody's separated there.
Yeah. And then,
it ain't like,
you know,
sitting at all, everybody's sitting at the table chatting. And I could imagine you being the only girl and all the brothers, like, feel like you left out, you know, because all the boys do what the boys do, and you the only girl there.
Yeah, and then, you know, I got a hard head because every turn around, hey, yo, Lisa, bang, the basketball hitting me upside the head, or, you know, throwing the ball, you know, like, you know, it was always a joke, you know, about, you know, having a sister. And
big
I'm
with
like,
the
you
sister.
Know, yo, I had a bully when I was like little, and a girl that used to bully. And then my brother found out that she was bullying me, and he was like, oh, you gonna fight her? And I was like, no, we don't fight. You know, we not allowed to fight. No, you're going to fight her, and if you don't fight her, we're gonna kick your butt. And I'm like, well, whoa, they never said that before. They might be serious. So, so I, you know, I never fought before. So I, me and her had a fight, and I did pretty good. And that was good because they was teaching me a lesson that you don't let nobody make you feel other than yourself. You know what I mean? If you got a fight or whatever, that's what you do. And that's what older brothers and sisters supposed to do. They supposed to teach you the way so that when you get there where they at, it'd be more easier for you. Like you said about your brother, don't hold nothing back because one day you might get in a situation and then you don't, you know, you can't handle it because nobody prepared you for what's ahead of you. So I think
and I could imagine when they tell you, and I know why you was fighting that girl, look, if I don't fight her, they're going to whoop me too. I ain't get, because we were like, you ain't getting no two butt kickings. Because our brother used to tell us the same thing. Yeah, if he knock you out, we're going to knock you out. If you don't fight back, we're going to kick you behind right in front of everybody. And you don't want that. I ain't getting no two ass whooping.
Yeah, that's and look, they never whooped you, so you don't know what it's going to feel like. Okay. Caller?
Yes. Yeah.
Hey,
Sade, what's going on, sir?
What's up, brother Sade? Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
How you doing tonight?
I'm good, you know.
Sade.
What's going on, brother Miles?
Are you your brother keeper?
Whenever it's necessary, you know?
Yeah.
It's necessary. Sometimes it's not necessary. So, you know, and that doesn't always mean blood brothers. You know what I mean?
Right.
Sometimes it's other brothers too. Like, you know, Jay Sean, that's my brother.
Yeah, the brothers you grew up with in the street growing up, right?
Right. You know. So, you know, that's how I grew up with, you know, that type of lack of a better word, that type of loyalty and love for each other, you know, where, you know, we protect each other. And, you know, and I'm listening to you and Sister Lisa saying that, you know, your brothers didn't tell you everything. Sometimes that's keeping you too, because they're keeping you from certain things. Because as older siblings, we have a tendency to want to follow what they do. So if they
exactly.
tell us certain things, then we're going to be, you know, interested in trying to do it. So by them not telling us, they're protecting us, you know?
Yeah, because that's what happened to us, too, me and my brother. They would never let us in that side of the world. Like, hey, stay out of this one.
Yeah.
You know, as we got older, we understood what they meant by that.
Right.
It was some, my brother, them four guys, they were some roughnecks. And they wasn't,
you
know, they was born in the 50s.
You had a brother named Warren?
That's my brother Warren, yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
You know he was crazy, right?
When I was younger, I remember him, man. You know,
he was
something else, man. He used to, like, you know, had cats shook. Jokers and shook of them.
He used to threaten us, man. He told us, look, if I ever see one of y'all getting a fight and losing, I'm going to kick y'all down the street.
Yeah.
And he was serious. So none of my brothers are going to lose a fight. And we always said, man, I ain't getting no two ass whoopings.
Well, that was the thing back then. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, I had to, you know, I did to my younger brothers. I mean, shook, I did it to Jay Sean. Made him fight. You know what I mean? And he didn't want to fight. So that was something, you know, we did. You know that, because the thing is, back then, even, you know, even now, like, if a person can take advantage of you, they're going to continue to take advantage of you. So, you know, by you standing up to them, the thing about a bully only a bully because they really don't want no fight. They really want to pick and choose the people they want to push up on. you know?
Yeah, the ones they know they get over on.
Yeah, the ones that's going to let them do what they're going to do. They don't really want to fight, so if you're going to fight them, they're going to be like, okay, next time I'm going to let you go, you know? But they don't really want to fight. They want the guy, the easy win. You know, a lot of times that's what they do. They take advantage, you know. And, you know, that don't just happen. That's bullies, period. They take advantage of the weaker people. You know, anybody that's going to give them some work, they're going to think about it. You know?
True.
Yeah.
Especially when you stand up to them in front of, like, yeah, what? Let's do this.
Yeah. Man. So, you know. Yeah, and as our brother Keeper, it's all about just being there when someone needs you, you know, and that's the thing, and we have to be careful how we do that, because sometimes we can overextend ourselves.
True.
You know, to the point where we enable people. You know, by doing for them too, when they really don't need us, and we're just doing it because we love them and because we, you know, we think they need it and they really don't. They just want it.
Right.
You know, and then ultimately we end up being disappointed after that. You know, I heard, you know, Lisa saying, you know, sometimes you do stuff for people and then when you need them, they're not there for you. That comes from sometimes doing for people when it's really not a need to do for them. You're doing it because you're kind-hearted and you want to be there. And a lot of times people don't reciprocate that, you know.
True.
And more so family. Family is one of the worst ones that want to reciprocate things to you, you know.
You're right about that.
One minute. We have another caller. Stay on the line, so we still got to talk about a little bit of other things, but take this call. Hello?
Hey, Lisa.
Sound like Latoya?
Hey, Mal.
Hi, Latoya. How you doing?
Hi, Miss Miller.
Hello, Mal. All is well. Grateful, thankful. My deepest condolences to you and your family, Lisa.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Oshadi,
how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Troy?
All is well. So, good topic. And I'm just agreeing to what you're saying, Lisa, also Shadiq, and I'm out. Sometimes the point that we do got to fall back and not always do things because some people do take advantage of family will be the main one, and friends in general. We can be our brother's keeper, but sometimes we got to know our extent.
Yeah.
I'm 197, and me and my siblings are close. But, you know, sometimes they let their significant others or their wife or so on and so forth can face out us, and that's basically where things is at. So I just know where my place is at, and it's the fallback.
Yeah, right. Especially when you have brothers. You have to fall back a lot because you don't want to interfere with, you know, with their wives. So I have to not know my pace, but
well,
I don't.
That right there, for me personally, I don't care because I don't slap the hoe.
Listen. No, she didn't.
I can give two claps about that. You ain't gonna play with me. That's something you're not going to do. You're not going to play with me. And sometimes family allow that nonsense to go on, but I could give two claps about that. You're not going to try me.
I don't know. I always try to keep the peace. Like, I did go a couple of rounds with a couple of sister-in-laws, but I just didn't want to lose my brother, you know, over something that, you know, didn't really mean anything. So I just would let it slide because sometimes brothers, they take foot, they wife, you know, way that she's talking and push you to the side and, like, you never know where it's coming from. You know how they always say you have to hear both stories? So, basically, I just say it to the back line.
And, Lisa, you got a point there, too, because when it comes to your brother or your sister's spouse, that's putting them in a spot too. Whose side they gonna take up on, you know?
You're gonna take their side.
This is my wife, that's my brother, that's my sister now. Whose side I'm really gonna be on here? You know, who the one gonna get my most, you know, support here? Especially if, you know, your wife or your husband is not getting along with your family member. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, 'cause that's kind of hard though. You know, like if my brother can't get along with my wife, I gotta like, okay, now who's gonna get my attention first? I gotta stick with my wife though. And I just hope I understand that.
Your family, that's their mate. So now if you fall out or you get in whatever, then down the line, you know, things change in life situations. It's going to be hard for you to accept to want to be with them after they be done called your name or you whatever. So you got to always keep it, you got to keep it open that, like, now if I do be with one of them and maybe it was something back in the day, I'm okay with it because I didn't take it no further so that I can let them in. But like LaToya said, I don't have my olive branch way out. I still, you move on.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Oh yeah. LaToya, we, once again, I'm sorry for your loss too.
Well, thank you so much. My grandpapa, at the age of 81 years old, went from earth on to glory.
Oh, when?
Monday.
Oh, sorry about that.
My condolences too.
I know you told many stories about him, I know.
Oh, my grandpapa. Yeah, my grandpapa. So my grandmother missed him. My grandmother, 82. My grandpapa.
Yeah, that was still kind of young, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, but they were love, so much joy. They didn't allow grass to grow underneath their feet. They moved. They did everything. My grandfather was still driving. Both of my grandparents.
Yeah.
Just sickness came and
But he was, well, our prayers are with you.
Thank you
family.
So much. Thank you so much.
Now, go ahead and finish saying what you're saying.
Oh, our prayers are with you. And when it comes to grandparents, because I didn't get that, I didn't have that because, you know, mine's, they died younger. But when they get to live and be with you through your adulthood, you're very blessed because you not only get to see them how they were when they was young, you got to experience them when they was older. And when they're older, they give you so much wisdom, and they tell you so many good things. Because my grandkids are big, and I play with them a little bit. But most of the time, I'm always throwing it to them like, yo, get it together. Take it this way. I've been there. You know, not all the time being serious, but just letting them know that you want them to know the path. Because we're only going through this road once. And you don't want to miss out opportunity of letting people know how to find themselves or what they need to do to get where they need to be. So I understand that you had them for many of years, and I know that you're going to miss them. And I hope your grandmother is a little eased by your family and also knowing that, you know, God gives you all the comfort you need, you know, when you do lose someone. Go ahead, Mom.
Yeah.
Now, I was saying, when we talk about our brother's keeper and stuff, our mother always taught us, even our father taught us growing up, that, you know, when you got a girl in your life or a wife, you always put them first. Because our mother asked us the question, you know, if we had to choose between her or our girlfriend or our wife, who would we love the most? We always say, you, of course, you, Mom. And she said, no. I understand you. I know you will always love me. But that girl right there could be the mother of your kids. So, you know, as you grow up, you're going to meet somebody you could probably get married, have family with. You always got to put your family first, like I put mine. I know you love me, but I also know that you have to put your girl and your kids, family, whatever, whatever, first. Because even if it don't work out, I know you will always, you know, love me, and that ain't going to never change. But that girl right there could be your wife or the mother of your kids. And at first, you know, we was all sitting there like, what the hell she mean by that? You know, you are mom. But as we got older, we understood what she meant. Because when we became fathers ourselves, we knew, hey, don't mess with my girl, don't mess with my kids. Because I always put them first. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that's another thing we had to go through, like, too, you know, when it comes to who's your keeper.
Okay, I want to do a little, another little break. And I'm hoping my son is on. Is my son on, Randy?
He ain't going to start singing again.
Yeah, he's on.
Okay, after the song, I want to bring him on.
Paul might have dropped. I've got to call him back.
All right, because I want to talk a little bit about baby mama when we come back. But Shadi, Latoya, Miles, I know you're going to be here. Hold tight, and we're going to try to talk a little bit about a little bit of another topic before the night ends. But thank you for all your comments, and I hope you have more comments. And Latoya, I hope that you stay a little longer with us.
Yes, I will.
Okay, Ran.
Stevie One.
Is it the love?
Thank you for staying with us. Randy, you have my son on?
One second.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
Going on.
I'm putting you on the spot tonight. We're going to talk about baby mamas. I'm not here to bash them. I'm just here to talk about how we fit in the picture also, just like when people are in a relationship and married or getting ready to enter to being married. We shouldn't forget baby mothers because, as Stevie Wonder said, every baby deserves a mother and a father, and it's a blessing when they do come into this world. But nowadays we have babies and the men have it and he goes a separate way, or the woman, she goes and move on, and the man don't get to see his kids. We got to start becoming a unit. You know, it's not about us, the male or the female. It's about the child. Child didn't ask to be here. Child didn't ask for the situation that it came here in. We got to stop bashing each other, talking about the father, talking about how the mother is. It's about the kid growing up in a healthy environment. Even if the father can't be with you, you should still talk good about him no matter what, because it's better to have a father than not to have one. It's like a mother. It don't matter what type of mother. It's better to have a mother than not to have a mother. You have to give everybody a chance. Everybody's different at different times in their life. That's what we got to start learning. Everybody's not where they're supposed to be, where you think they're supposed to be in life. Did you want to add on something, Randy? Or, I'm sorry, not Randy, Tishon?
I just realized, you know, nowadays it's different from when our grandparents and the guys grew up. It's like nowadays there's a lot of broken up families. And like you said, it really doesn't matter about the relationship. It matters about the child, you know. Co-parent and do things for the child without it being an argument or putting someone on child support because they didn't do something you asked or you didn't come to the child one time when they wanted to do. And, you know, it's just a lot of drama nowadays. It ain't the same anymore. So, like, people got to choose wisely who they have kids without them. There's more drama going on with the baby mother out of the work. And once kids, they put you on block, like kids put you on block, you know, but you got to choose wisely. You got kids nowadays that are smart enough. And I'm not going to say don't have kids, but just be careful.
Yeah. Do Miles, you want to add something then, or Shadi?
Well, I do want to say something about that. Mothers, and I feel like this, if the mother and the father is separated from, you know, and either like if the woman's raising the kid or he raised, you should never say anything bad about the parent around the kid. Because you don't want the kid growing up choosing who's one, you know, you try to put him between the both of y'all. Or, you know, especially if you bad talking his mother, she bad talking, and you take it out on the kid grow up, your dad was this, your dad was that, and he is no good. Then they grow up believing that. And then, you know, the father doing the same thing, your mother this and that. You don't want to put the kid in the middle of that. You want that kid growing up to believe that no matter what's going on between him and his mother and the father, that they love you, you know. It's about you, like you said. Like, if me and you was a parent, like, Like, we had a kid together, and me and you ain't getting along. We ain't going to put that on the kid. We don't want him to see our disagreements, our arguments. Because, you know, kids grow up, they be mad because they're afraid if they choose to do something with you and not the other one, the other one going to dislike them. You know, kids do think that, and that's the sad thing about it. Kids think that way. Some kids even think that their parents break up because of them. And you don't want to put that on a kid.
Yeah. Right. Like Miles, I moved to New York, and, you know, I got a newborn over here. I still have two kids in childhood. One of my kids' mom called me today. Oh, you only care about the one in New York. You know, all my other kids in New Jersey are older. You know what I mean? Touching probably 18 and 20 or whatever. But I still, you know, reach out and go see them. You want me to come do things that you want me to do. You know what I mean? I have a number one over here. I still come see my kids and say, I don't want to move. Like, why you feeding the kids nonsense? And that's what they do nowadays. Like I said, they feed them nonsense. Oh, your dad don't care about you. And, you know?
Mhm. Yeah, because, you know, they grow up thinking, you wasn't this, mommy said this, mommy said that. So I know some kids in my neighborhood today, they father talk about their mother like a dog, man. I be like, yo, man, why are you telling them stuff like that? Well, she did this to, yeah, okay, she did that to you, but you don't have to let him know all that.
Oh, no, nah, they do. Huh? They want to let them know.
Yeah, you know, like, your mother's full of, like, come on, bro.
They want to let them know, man. Your dad a bum, scum of the earth, all types of shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy, man. Like, just because y'all got a problem with one another, you know, leave me, y'all, like, leave me out of it, you know.
Nah,
that's really sad
that,
when
man.
They do that.
Yeah. But you know what's good? That when the kids know that you've been in their life, and, you know, they tell you, oh, Dad, I don't care what mommy say. You know, I
yeah.
know she's crazy. You know what I mean? But it's fucked up when they don't know better.
True. And you don't want your kids saying that to you, either, Dad, mommy's crazy, or this and that
uh-huh.
and that. You don't want them talking about their mother like that. You know, like, yo, man, like, when me and my baby mother broke up, now, me and her had our issues, but I always told her daughter, I said, look, no matter what you think of our split up, we love you. And it had nothing to do with you. It's just that it didn't work out between us. It ain't your fault. You know, so don't be thinking, you know, we ain't together because of something you said or did.
Yeah, because my brother that passed, he had kids, and he didn't see him since it was like 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
When I had to tell him that he had passed away. Now, they don't have no closure. You know what I mean? They don't have no closure. And like you said, it don't matter. A kid always think that the father might try to come back in their life, or the
mm-hmm.
father, you know, cared about them. No kid want to sit and think that their father really, really didn't want to think about them. And then you pass away, and then it's like they have no way of knowing. They have to go with unanswered. So people, adults, got to start realizing that you take people through changes by doing things that you feel you was okay with. That's why I always say people always feel good what they do, but you got to always think about another person, no matter what, because it's going to turn out better for everybody when you think about the other person. Because, like, I put pictures up of him, and the daughter was like, oh, what age he was. Because, see, a kid love you no matter what. You got to be really a messed up parent for a kid to just cut you loose. Your kids always love you, even if they say they don't. So you got to take that little bit of fire, and you got to work with it. Like, love your kids. You know what I mean? Like, it's people out here can't even have a kid. You know what I mean? And then the ones that have a lot, you don't even pay attention. Like, come on now. If you're blessed with a kid, do the right thing.
Now, can you imagine
right
your
thing.
Kid Can you imagine your kid, like your son on the phone, he coming to you like, gee, Dad, if you would have did this and did that, we'd be together. The only reason we ain't together because Mommy said you did this and you did that. You're like, wait a minute.
Why?
Your mother said, what? You know, you don't want your kids coming to saying, oh, it would have been better if you would have stopped cheating on her or lying. And like, what you talking about? That's what Mommy said, or that's what Daddy said. And then, you know, then the kid's sitting here trying to be like a referee between the mother and the father.
Yeah. I talked about my kid's father, but when they got older, I said stuff that maybe happened, but they were able to swallow what I was saying and think about it. But when they're a kid, they don't understand what you're saying and why you're saying it. And it takes to heart. That's why you got to be, words do hurt.
I explained to my grandkids, like, they tell me, Granddad, my father this and that. I'm like, hold on, don't say that. I said just because he ain't around, that's still your father. Show respect. Because you don't know the whole story. You're 12 years old. What you talking about your father this and that? Who told you that? You know, don't ever disrespect your father or your mother. You don't know the whole story what's going on here, so. Don't do that.
It's unfortunate that, you know, people can have a relationship and then once a baby is born, it's almost like, okay, now they have a hate ship. Now somebody's hating each other. And the reality is, you know, it's, if you can't be together, that's all well and good. You know what I mean? Because you don't want a child in an unhealthy environment. However, as adults, you know, and especially us as a people, we are too emotional when it needs to be logical and vice versa. You know what I'm saying? So at some point, it needs to be like, you know, look, we two adults now. You seeing somebody, I'm seeing somebody, you know, let's try to have, you know, because I think it's healthy for children to be able to see their parents being cordial, at least. See,
getting along with one another.
What it ends up breeding is, now the children grow up, and now they're not able to have a healthy relationship because they didn't see a healthy relationship. And we're perpetuating that by, you know, not letting them see the two parents. So it's difficult. Even if we have to put ourselves aside, as Sister Lisa said, we got to be able to put ourselves aside. It's got to be for the children. However, some people just are sperm donors or just incubators. You know, some people have babies and they're not capable of that parenting skill. Now, you know, that's a whole nother case.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to start, you know, educating the young people about, you know, sex. Like, you know, when we grew up, we didn't talk about sex. We didn't talk, you know, all they may say, don't go have no baby. You know, that's about the size of it. You know, don't go have no babies.
Don't bring no baby in this house.
Yeah. We have to really be more intricate with both. Like, look, babies mean family. If you're not ready for family, protect yourself. Don't, you know, because really, you know, now we didn't turn reproduction, you know, having sex for reproduction, we didn't turn it into like a leisure, a fun thing, a pleasure thing, more pleasure than even thinking about a baby. So more so we're getting together just for pleasure. And we're not even concerned about a baby, but when the baby's born, because neither person is emotionally ready, this is why we have the problems of two people can't get along, because they wasn't even emotionally stable in the first place when they was having sex, and then wasn't having safe sex. So these are things we have to start. We have to start being more proactive and less reactive. We're having too many babies that not having both parents in their lives, you know, for one reason or another. And what is breeding is a society of destruction, you know, of us not growing to the highest level that we are capable of growing. You know, so that's what we got to work on as a people. We got to find a way to having the babies, or find a way once they're here to co-parent in a healthy manner that's going to bring the child up in a healthy way.
And too many of our brothers out there be saying, the girl say, I'm pregnant. That ain't my baby. You probably got pregnant by somebody else. That's the first thing they throw out their mouth. All of a sudden, that tells me he ain't ready to be no father.
Well,
you don't want to be.
And there are cases
mm-hmm.
where it's a saying, and the saying is true. Mama's baby, daddy's maybe.
Right.
You know what I mean? So depending on how you met the young lady and got into a relationship, you it can be a possibility, you know, because I've known situations where, you know, brothers was taking care of a child, found out later on that the child wasn't his. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes that happens. So this is where we both have to be responsible. Both men and women have to have a responsibility for bringing life into the world. You know, we can't just put it on the woman. Like a lot of times, okay, the woman going to have carry the baby so the man gets a chance to skate, and that's
mm-hmm.
it. However, we got to let the men know that, look, you just as responsible, because it's 50-50. Without either one, nobody's having, miraculous conception. No, miraculous conception, you know,
right.
Sex without the other person, a baby's being born without the other person being involved. So that's the thing. So we have to encourage abstinence, safe sex, or responsibility if the baby comes. And I think one of the things that we had in the past, like there's a lot of values that we had in the past that we now let slip to the wayside. There was a time where you kind of got to know who your child was dealing with, where you got to interact with the person prior to them even having sex. Like Lisa said, you know, the brothers used to bring girls to the house, so you get the chance to see the girls. You get the chance to meet the people. Now, you may not see the person that got pregnant until the baby shower. You know? Go ahead.
No, another thing that's scary too is like when these guys be making these babies and these girls know that, okay, he got three girls pregnant, and the girls get mad at one another. And then they don't let them kids grow up knowing that they related to each other. Because, see, that happened to me. I ended up dating my half-sister, and I never even knew that. And that was the crazy thing. And the only way we found that out is at our father's funeral.
Right.
I didn't even know that was my
half-sister. Yeah,
her mother didn't like my mother. So they just kept us to this way. She went that way, they went that way. It's like, you know, if the guy out here, he got three kids, y'all, even though y'all know he the father of them babies, you can't be mad at each other because she got pregnant by him, and you don't let that baby grow up knowing that little boy or that little girl is his half-sister or half-brother. Can you imagine how many kids out here probably related to each other don't even know that?
Well, we changed anyway, because back in the day, when our fathers were coming along, men never did, sometimes didn't know if some of the babies were theirs. But it always said that if you married to me, if you feed me, you're feeding my baby. So most men, no matter what, they took care of the family. It didn't matter if it was their child or not. See, we done got, like I said again, thin skin that we feel that a step or don't belong to us and not taking care of us. It's still a kid. We shouldn't put labels on kids. Like if you decide you get married, you had a kid before you got married, you shouldn't let that wife decide that that child shouldn't be in your life because it came before you. The baby came before you, so that means you have to let that person in. But sometimes the man got to step up and say, look, the kid was here before we got together, and that's the way it's going to stay. But a lot of times you get married, you forget your kids, and you go on and have kids by the person you get married to. And then you got kids out here that know that you're their parents, but you don't want to let them in. Everybody got to stop acting like they don't remember what they did before they move forward in life.
I would rather for my kids to accept my, like if my kid grow up and I got another woman in my life, I want her to reach out to this woman too, get to know her. Don't be mad at her because she ain't your natural mother. Because kids would do that too. You ain't my mother. I no, babe. But still show some respect.
Well, that goes back to what you were saying, my brother's keeper, as well as my sister's keeper. We have a tendency, as you said, to get thin-skinned, to allow a person's actions of, you know, okay, for example, like you said, back in the day that, you know, a man may not have known, or he may did know, and because they were married, he stayed in there and took care of the family. Okay, similar thing if a man is married and he has another child outside the marriage, the woman, she don't want nothing to do with it. So that's happening too. So both people have to understand that, as you said, the child is innocent. The child had nothing to do with grown folks' business. You know?
Right.
So we are doing things to children based on adults' actions. And we are, some people actually be hating children, hating the child because, you know, something the parent did. The parent had the child while they were together, this, that, and they hate the child. And the child don't know anything, you know, that have nothing to do with that. And
they're the ones being punished for it.
All right. Mm-hmm. And where we at as a people, the situation we in as a people, we have to be more loving to each other than we are to other people. We seem to forgive other people for what they do to us than we will towards each other. So that's something we have to really work on, and we really have to examine ourselves and really open up our minds and hearts to be able to say, look, we have to come to be in that village again, no matter what. All children are our children. I'm my brother's keeper. I'm my sister's keeper. So that means their children is my children, that type of thing. We have to go back to that because we're losing too many children to the streets.
So, Shadi, what make it so hard for us to realize that and just say, look, I accept your stepchild, or I accept this apology, or why we just can't just go to that? It's like it's hard to say I'm sorry to a person, or okay, that's my daughter, that's my son, I respect that, and you respect it too. It's, for some reason, it seems like it's so hard for us to just accept the change.
Well, I think because many of us are not able to forgive the person's actions, the betrayal of what a person did to them. We hold on to the action that the person committed, and we can't get past that. So anything that's related to that action, we dislike or we hate. because we not realizing that we ourselves have some actions that we are not proud of. So
right.
Once we get to a point where we can understand that, as they say, none of us are without sin, none of us without doing something that has hurt someone or betrayed someone in some manner, and look at it as we all make errors, we all make mistakes, we all hurt somebody. Sometimes, and most times, it's unintentional. Most times it's unintentional. Most times it's out of doing something that you want to do that you are not mindful of how it's going to affect another person. And that's what we have to be. We have to evolve and say, look, I forgive you for what you did, you know, because I'm not perfect. I know I've done things to hurt you, and I'm not saying that I did it on purpose, because many times it's not on purpose, and that's what we have to differentiate, where a person does something and they do it because they want to, and not because they're being malice, not because they're being mean, because some things, people have weaknesses. Everybody has a weakness. Everybody has something that they're strong at. Everyone has something that they're weak at. And we have to strive. One of the things about love is being able to love a person even through their weaknesses, to help them get the strength to overcome that. Without love, people loving you and believing that you can change, a lot of times it make it difficult for you to change. And there are some things that we're going to have to accept about ourselves as well as about other people that you may not be able to change.
You know another thing about that too, Sha, that is that this kid, in getting a situation like that, they don't realize, you know, he got grandparents. He got nieces and cousins and all that, and that affects that too. You know, like if your son, girlfriend don't want her around her son, and this, what about the grandparents? What about his uncles, his nephews, his cousins? They get affected by the same thing too. It's like a chain reaction.
Right. I mean, and a lot of times you do grow up knowing one side of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Most times it's the mother. And it's beneficial for a child to know both sides of their family. And then sometimes the child, even, you know, once they do find out who the father is, they don't really want to interact with the father's side of the family sometimes. Sometimes the child,
exactly,
do that. So we have a tremendous amount of issues. However, we have to strive to deal with not so much where we're different at, but where we're similar at. And that's what we have to start striving to unite on, our similarities, and stop focusing on our differences. That's
gentlemen,
the key to us.
Lisa, your son's still on the phone?
Yeah, he probably is. Gentlemen, we're gonna close out, but I want to say that next week I would like to have Shadi and Miles. We're gonna be together, and we're gonna have an open forum, because we need to take this to another level. You know what I mean? And have more time to really dissect it and get into it, because there's a lot of people out there that's going through a lot of pain, that they don't feel that they get in the support they need on both ends, men and women. So next week I'm going to invite both of y'all. Well, Miles is going to be here. But Shadi, I invite you on the show. And let's have callers, or we have open forum on the same topic. I'm going to be ready to end, but I want to, you know, I'm always bad at it. But I want to thank Miles, Shadi, Saturday, 7 o'clock. Let's talk about it. I'm going to tell you in a minute his name of his YouTube or Face number in a minute. My brother tomorrow, Keeping It Real, Jay Sean. I want to thank everybody on line and on the phones. Latoya, I want to thank you for joining in. And as I said earlier, all prayers go out to you and your family. And thank you for taking out time through all this to be here with us tonight.
You're welcome.
So, Sadi, are you welcome to come?
Yeah, of course.
Latoya, you can always come, in and help me out. Help me out with a little backlash and or with, slap them up like you said about, be your brothers.
I'll slap a hole in a minute. You're not going to try me.
Yeah, so we need a little bit of that in there every once in a while.
Please appreciate you. I always support you.
Hey, Shaq.
Thank you. So,
yeah.
I mean, she shocked me when she said that, man.
I kid you not.
She actually shocked the heck out of me when she said, I slapped. I'm like, whoa.
I never thought
I'd hear that come out of Ms. Miller mouth.
But I kid you not. She's been doing it for a long time, and it's sad that my brother chose to do that, and she did it to the point that I said, yeah, I did. I slapped her about 3 months ago. I slapped the hell out of her. And now
enough
she's trying to apologize.
Right?
I don't want her apology. I don't.
Ooh.
And I know we got on the topic, but I don't, because it's a shame how people are. Never had no conflict whatsoever. But this is what happened when family allowed this foolishness to go on. It's a shame. But you're not going to play with me.
So we're gonna have a when you go through your I know burying your grandfather, your pop. We'll come on and let you do the venting because Miles love it, and I'm quite sure you can give us a lot of enlightenment. But no hitting on the show.
No. That's not me. But she really.
No, I'm just joking.
Thanks for knowing my brother, man.
That's what happened, Lisa. No. That's not me.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to take it out. Everyone be safe. Have a nice weekend, and we'll be back next Thursday, 8 o'clock, the Lisa Experience with Miles, everyone.
You're welcome.
All right.
Jay, thanks again for another good show.
Everybody have a good night.
Y'all have a good night, then. Shadi, you take care of yourself, brother.
All right, you too, Brother Miles.
Lisa, have a blessed day.
And that YouTube page is at ANDREHILL9. That's at ANDREHILL, the number 9. All right.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
All right, my brother.
Good night.
All right.
Take it out.
Good night.
Still there?